There's some life in the house today, amen? God's doing good things, and what a joy to see how God is using you in the community to touch people's lives and to move forward with kingdom business, amen? Julie and I had the opportunity to be here a couple months ago when we were celebrating 25 years with Pastor Craig and the life of this church. And what a great testimony of the goodness of God, of souls being saved for the last 25 years and people coming into the kingdom and being discipled, seeing lives that have been touched and changed, miracles that have been taking place. And how many know that? That doesn't just happen because you open the doors. But there's prayer, and there's prayer, and there's more prayer, and there's teaching, and there's preaching, and there's worship, and there's prayer, and there's more prayer, and it just keeps on happening. And I want to encourage you, what a great opportunity this coming Saturday to serve this community. What a great opportunity. They said work in the air conditioning. When they said that, I was like, whoo, everybody ought to be there. Air conditioning and pizza, that sounds like a good combination. But what a great thing that you're doing. Pastor, thank you for having us today and your amazing staff, everything that's taking place in this church. We're blessed, aren't we? Amen. One of the great things about the Assemblies of God is where we started. In 1914, 300 people showed up in Hot Springs, Arkansas to set a few things in order and said this, we're gonna take the gospel around the world. I mean, imagine people that showed up riding mules and people that showed up in a horse and buggies and people that showed up on a train saying that we're going to take the gospel all around the world. And we've been working hard at it. You've been a part of that. Together, we are watching that take place. Today in Indiana, there's 230 Assemblies of God churches in big cities and small towns and rural places all over Indiana. There are thousands that are gathering today under the heading of Assemblies of God in Indiana. But around the world, we went from 300 in Hot Springs, Arkansas, to now close to 90 million people that are going to show up. Amen? They're going to show up at an Assemblies of God church today. And that's powerful, and that's incredible. And that's still just one small part of the family of God. Our Baptist friends and our Methodist friends and our Nazarene friends, the gospel is going around the world, and we get to be a part of that. And we're thankful for having the opportunity. Today, I get to jump into the series that you've been doing on the fruit of the Spirit. And I can tell you, a few months ago when Pastor Craig asked me to do this, I thought, what am I going to say about kindness? And for months, it's just been going through my mind. But I think I have a word for us this morning I want to challenge you with. Let's start in Galatians chapter 5. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Today, we are going to focus on kindness. As I thought about this message, I thought I could preach the shortest sermon in the history of this church for sure. And it would simply be this, be nice in the name of Jesus, be nice. Let's pray. But I didn't figure that's what Pastor wanted. But really this, kindness is so much more than being nice. I mean, really, anybody can be nice. You don't have to be a Christian to be nice. You can help a little old lady cross the road, and that would be nice. You can help somebody like my dad's age in their 70s learn how to go around a roundabout. That would be nice. I mean, why would you turn left on a roundabout? Think about that, people. Anybody can help their neighbor mow their yard. That's being nice. Anybody can say something nice to the cashier at the store. I mean, the truth is that we should all be nice. And if you're not nice to the cashier at the store, maybe, check your heart. But in John chapter 4, there's a story that Jesus takes us beyond nice to kindness. See, He shows up at this well. He's been on a long walk. He sits down at the well. All of his buddies head into town to get some sandwiches, all right? And Jesus just hanging out at the well. And as he's there, this Samaritan woman shows up in the middle of the day, and Jesus begins to have a conversation with her. See, all the other women showed up early in the morning when it was the cool of the day to get the water for their families, but this lady was kind of an outcast. She really wasn't welcome to be with all the other ladies of the town. The ladies of the town weren't nice to her. But as Jesus is sitting there, he kicks up a conversation, and he just simply says, hey, excuse me, could I bother you for a drink? And that kicks off the situation, and it starts a conversation, and she just kind of begins to say, how could you ask me for a drink of water? I mean, that kind of seems odd, doesn't it? You are Jew and I am Samaritan. We don't even talk to one another. And look at who I am. I'm an outcast of the city, and you would ask me for some water. But Jesus just begins this conversation. And then in the middle of the conversation, it seems like Jesus kind of crosses the line. And he says, why don't you go into town and get your husband? She kind of puts her head down. And she's like, listen, I can tell that you're a prophet because I don't have a husband. I've had five husbands, and the person I'm living with now is not my husband. And Jesus explained that he already knew this, and they began talking and going through a conversation then that talks about worship, and in the process of this worship conversation, where you should worship God, where you shouldn't worship God, all of a sudden, Jesus drops a huge kindness bomb right in the middle of the situation at the well, and he says this to the lady, I am the Messiah. Now, that probably caused her eyes to get real big for just a moment. But there was a purpose to this kindness truth bomb, and we find that in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Kindness is a kingdom thing, not a be nice thing. I read this the other day, and I put it in the message. It says this, treating people right is better than posting Bible verses every day that you don't practice. Kindness is a kingdom practice. And for all of us in this room today that love Jesus, kindness is a part of the mission, and it's also part of our missions. See, as a follower of Christ, kindness should be a part of who we are. Who we are every day or everywhere that we go, every person that we're around, the kindness of Jesus ought to come out of us. See, the kindness of our words is kingdom business. The kindness of our actions, kingdom business. The kindness of our attitudes, kingdom business. The kindness of our giving is kingdom business. Our kindness should point people to Jesus. And his desire for God's kindness leads them to repentance. Hey, let's face it. Did Jesus come and die on the cross for anything else but souls? And so our kindness should lead people to repentance. But it's not just our daily mission, it's also our missions as well. See, every dollar is kingdom business. Everything that we give is for kingdom business. Yesterday, you were doing work, you were giving of yourself. There was already kingdom money that was given to help finance what took place yesterday. It was kingdom business. Why? So that kids can show up at school, so that teachers, principals, superintendents can see the kindness of God and lead people to repentance. Amen? For a group of people who have never heard the gospel, it's all kingdom business. See, a church plant locally, kingdom business. a church plant in Europe, kingdom business. Taking the gospel to a village in Africa, kingdom business. Digging a well so that people can have conversations like Jesus was having with this lady. It's all about the kindness of God. It's kingdom kindness. I have a friend, his name is Doug, and he pays to have wells dug right next door to churches in Haiti and in Africa so that on a daily basis, the people of the villages have to show up at the church house so they can get living water and so they can get water for the day. It's kingdom kindness. It's the business of the Lord. And so that's part of who we are. Giving to missions is kindness that leads to repentance globally. Living on missions, or living on mission is kindness that leads to repentance locally. In this conversation that Jesus is having in John chapter 4, verse 28, it says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back into town and said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards Jesus." And then in the story, it says that Jesus took a few days and he sat there and he taught them and he loved them. And then in verse 41, it says this, "And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" The woman was on mission, and she went back into town. I have a question for us today. Are we living on mission? Is our kindness, the kindness that's coming out of us, that we are born again, bought with a price, the Spirit of the Lord lives within us, is there the fruit of kindness that is coming out of us everywhere that we go? It's living on mission so that people are drawn to the Lord. The kindness of God draws people to repentance. Maybe we need to ask ourselves that question. Is there that kind of kindness in me that's coming out of me that people are seeing Jesus in me because of my kindness? Now, only you can answer that question. Or maybe your wife or husband can answer it for you. Your kids maybe can answer that for you. But what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you this morning? Is there kindness in you? Is there fruit in you that's showing forth the greatness of God? There was a couple, a young couple who had a baby. They were backslidden. They're not in church, not serving the Lord. And one day there's a knock on the door. The guy at the door just began to start a conversation with them. As he began the conversation with them, he began to share Jesus with them, and soon they had invited him into the house, and they're sitting down and they're talking about what Jesus is able to do, who Jesus is, that Jesus forgives, that Jesus saves, that Jesus cleanses the past, that Jesus makes things new. And this couple said, "We need Jesus back in our lives." That couple was Julie's parents. The guy that knocked on the door, all we know about him is that his name was Scott. And they began to see transformation that happened in their lives. And it wasn't just a transformation for them. It had a generational impact. This young couple, Julie's parents, they saw the kindness of a stranger that transformed their lives. Their names were David and Nancy. And David and Nancy gave their lives to the Lord. They found a good Bible-believing church in Elkhart called Elkhart Assembly of God. They had three more kids, and they're living the life. They're training their kids and showing their kids who Jesus is. It was a transformation that took place in their life because the kindness of a guy named Scott that knocked on the door one day. It drew to repentance. And as incredible as that story is, one day tragedy came. Right as Julie was getting ready to start high school, David and Nancy were killed by a drunk driver. Let's go back to the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. The first testimony is the moment that they were hit, they were killed instantly and stepped right into glory. This guy named Scott that nobody knew, and boy, we would love to know who he is today, had showed up at the house to just share the goodness and the kindness of Jesus. And in a moment, two people stepped right into heaven many years later. See, all the kids were already serving the Lord faithfully. And in this difficult time, they just kept serving the Lord faithfully. There was no other choice. The kindness of God had already been shown. The transformational power of the Lord had been made known. They were just simply following the Lord. A few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go up to Middlebury, Indiana, because Julie has a brother named Scott, named after a guy that's shown the kindness of God that knocked on the door. Scott pastors in Assemblies of God Church in Middlebury, Indiana, and all the siblings were there as they celebrated the new sanctuary that was built. Friend, can I tell you today, the kindness of God leads to repentance, and that repentance will change the destiny of a family. See, this kindness is not niceness, but it's the kindness of the kingdom that shows the love of Jesus, that leads to repentance, that grows the kingdom of God. And I have this question for all of us today. Is that fruit in your life? I mean, it's easy to get to Galatians and read through them. Love, joy, peace. I mean, we like those, and they make us feel good. But kindness, I mean, you got to work at that one a little bit. Is kindness in your life? Is it a fruit of who you are? If there was a bowl of the fruit of your life sitting in front of you this morning, would there be one in there that's clearly marked kindness? Because the kindness inside of you leads others to repentance. Where are you at with Jesus today? Where do you find yourself today in this walk with the Lord? Is there kindness in you? I invite you to stand this morning. I want to ask if you do inventory on your life right now. Is there this kindness in you? Are you just nice? Listen, are you just nice? Because anybody can be nice. Or is the kindness of the kingdom inside of you? What's coming out that people see? See, the truth is this. Everywhere that you go, you're carrying Jesus Christ. Are people seeing that? I'm going to invite you to close your eyes this morning for just a moment. And I want to ask you this question today. Maybe you're in the house this morning and you find yourself in the place that Julie's mom and dad were in many years ago. You're not serving Jesus. You're in the house this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior. You're in the house this morning and you recognize, I'm like the woman at the well. I need to give my life to Jesus today. I recognize today that the kindness of God brought me here. He's calling me to repentance. And so I have a question in this 9 o'clock service this morning. Is there anybody in the house that you would say, preacher, today I want to give my life to Jesus? If that's you, would you just lift your hand? We'd love to introduce you to Jesus today. Yes. Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Anybody else this morning? You're in the house. You say, you know what? I need to give my life to Jesus today. There's been a few hands go up. Anybody else? Amen. Here's what I believe. I believe the same way that Julie's parents said yes to Jesus in their living room and asked Jesus to come and forgive them of their sins, and God did it in a moment, that he wants to do that for you this morning as well. And I'm going to invite you, those that lifted their hand, and everybody in the room, would you pray this prayer with me this morning? And we just want to invite Jesus to come and cleanse us and forgive us and make us new today. Can we do that? Everybody in the house, would you say this with me? Say, dear Jesus, I need you. You are the Savior. I am a sinner. Would you come into my life today? Would you cleanse me? Would you sanctify me? Would you make me new? Today, I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm not perfect, but you are. Come into me today. I want to be a real Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. And here's what I believe. Amen. Go ahead. I believe that if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, that Jesus came and he forgave you of your sins right now. See, I think this also, there were some people that didn't raise their hand, but you prayed that prayer and Jesus came and he forgave you of your sins just now also. Now I want to ask everybody else in the room, do you have kindness in you? I mean, does it show forth, or is it buried down underneath stuff so far that nobody ever sees it? Oh, is there moments that it pops its head out and say, oh, yeah, I'm here. And even during the message, you were kind of justifying, oh, yeah, I was kind the other day. But the truth is, you know, the kindness of the kingdom isn't coming out of me. People aren't seeing that. The way that I'm living, nobody's ever going to be drawn to repentance. Can we just begin to ask the Lord, church people, that he would come and that fruit would begin to take root in our lives and it would begin to grow and to begin to shine forth. And the way that kindness is in our life 1 year from now is way different than it is right now. Would you just begin across this room just to ask the Lord to put kindness in you today? Let's just begin to pray all across the room. I can't pray for you. You're the only one that can ask the Lord, but I'm going to pray with you today. So let's ask. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we need kingdom kindness, Lord. We need kingdom kindness to fill our hearts. We need kingdom kindness to come into us. We need kingdom kindness to show forth. God, we want to live in such a way that it shows forth the kindness of heaven. Lord, not just a niceness that a lot of people have here on this earth, but Lord, a kindness, Lord, so that when we're in the workplace that people see it. Lord, that when we're on a walk with our family, people see it. When we're showing up at Meijer or Walmart, people are seeing kindness, Lord Jesus, that our acts of kindness, Lord, are on mission for our daily lives. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us in our kindness missionally, Lord, beyond just the church house, but Lord, giving to missions that helps change the world. Father, I pray that you would help us today, that you would encourage us this morning, Lord, beyond a church service. Lord, would you allow kindness to take root in our life, and it just begin to grow, and it would, the way that kindness shines in our life today would be way different in a month, in 2 months, 6 months, in a year from now. God, we'd be like real Christians with the fruit of the Spirit shining forth and making your name great. Lord, making your name great, drawing people to repentance, I pray. Lord, I pray Scots would rise up all over this room. I pray Scots would rise up all over this room. Nobody knows who he is, but Lord, he's doing kingdom business that changes families for generations. God, we give you praise this morning. We give you worship today. We honor you today. Friend, would you let kingdom kindness rise up in you? And would you allow the Lord to make his name great through the middle of your life? Because he wants to. Amen? Amen.